Blog Talk Radio.
Your boys and girls, welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book.com. I am looking at a photo that was taken in Iraq, and somebody sent it to me, and it's entitled The Finger. And what it shows is a contingent of Marines, and one Marine is wounded, and he doesn't have his helmet on. He's standing up. He just stood up off a stretcher. They were taking him to a vehicle to take him to the hospital. His pants legs have been cut away so that they could bandage his shrapnel wounds in his legs. And he's standing up, and he's facing the enemy, and he's giving them the finger. And now I'm going to read you the story behind the picture. Leading the fight is U.S. Marine Gunnery Sergeant Michael Burkhart, known as Iron Mike or just Gunny. He is on his third tour of duty in Iraq. He had become a legend in the bomb disposal world after winning the Bronze Star for disabling 64 IEDs and destroying 1,548 pieces of ordnance during his second tour. Now, I just want to break this story for 1 second and just tell you that the Pentagon is upset tonight because the suicide rate amongst returning troops is higher than it was last year. But you want to know something? The Pentagon belongs in Iraq because they have no value in the Pentagon. They can't even defend the Pentagon. Do you think that this Marine Gunnery Sergeant has suicidal tendencies? Then on September the 19th, he got blown up. He had arrived at a chaotic scene after a bomb had killed 4 U.S. Marines. He chose not to wear the bulky bomb protection suit. You can't react to any sniper fire, and you can get tunnel vision, he explains. So, protected by a helmet and a standard-issued flak jacket, he began what bomb disposal officers term the longest walk, stepping gingerly into a 5-foot-deep and 8-foot-wide crater. The earth shifted slightly, and he saw a Sana'a base station with a wire leading from it. He cut the wire and used his 7-inch knife to probe the ground. I found a piece of red detonating cord between my legs, he says, and that's when I knew I was screwed. Realizing that he had been sucked into a trap, Sergeant Burkhart, 35, yelled at everyone to stay back. At that moment, an insurgent, probably watching through binoculars, pressed a button on his mobile phone to detonate the secondary device below the sergeant's feet. A chill went up the back of my neck, and then the bomb exploded, he recalls. And as I was in the air, I remember thinking, I don't believe they got me. I was just ticked off that they were able to do it. And then I was laying on the road, not able to feel anything from the waist down. And let me just tell you something. when we went into Afghanistan and Iraq, at the very beginning, I said that the IEDs were the biggest killer of American troops, and that we should have signals to interfere with the mobile phones that were detonating them, and that we should have greater IED deterrence. But nobody has come up with any IED deterrence. But Nancy Pelosi got a bigger Air Force plane to bring her 47 flunkies to Syria to sit and lick the sandals of Bashar al-Assad and cut the ribbon on the IED factory in Damascus, where the newest invention for the IED to kill Marines was Iranian copper lugs. That's the latest state of the art. And Nancy Pelosi and Bill Bayonet, the babies Nelson from Florida, another senator, and Kami Kucinich were all over there. But we don't have an IED pre-detonator. And all the toilet seats in the plane were Norgeid. You think about that. His fellow Marines cut off his trousers to see how badly he was hurt. None could believe his legs were still there. Listen to this. My dad's a Vietnam vet. He's paralyzed from the waist down, says Sergeant Bookhart. I was lying there thinking, I don't want to be in a wheelchair next to my dad and for him to see me like that. They started to cut away my pants. I felt a real sharp pain and blood trickling down. Then I wiggled my toes and I thought, good, I'm in business. As the stretcher was brought over, adrenaline and anger kicked in. I decided to walk to the helicopter. I wasn't going to let my teammate see me being carried away on a stretcher. He stood up and he gave the insurgents who had blown him up a one-fingered salute. I flipped them one. It was like, okay, I lost that round, but I'll be back next week. Copy of the photograph depicting his defiance taken by Jeff Bundy for the Omaha World Herald. You won't see it in the New York Slimes. Forget about that communist rag. You won't see it in Newsweek, who desecrates the American flag on the cover in their Japanese issue by throwing it in the garbage. You won't see that in communist Newsweek. No. You won't see that in any of the media parakeet cage of paper bottoms. Now, adorn the walls of homes across America, and that of Colonel John Gronsky, the brigade commander in Ramadi, who has hailed the image as an exemplar of the warrior spirit. Sergeant Burkhart's injuries, burns and wounds to his legs and buttocks, kept him off duty for nearly a month and could have earned him a ticket home. But like his father, who was awarded a Bronze Star and 3 Purple Hearts for being wounded in action in Nam, he stayed in Ramadi to engage in the battle against insurgents, who are forever coming up with more ingenious ways of killing Americans, with the aid of Eric Holder, who has now sent an invitation to come kill Americans in New York. Again, Democrats get you into war, and they leave you to die on the battlefield, promising they will never run again. And we're going to suffer their legacy.
The minstrel boy to the war is gone. Death you'll find him. His father's sword he has girded on, and his wild heart slung behind him. Land of song, said the warrior bard, though all the world be shall guard, one faithful heart shall praise thee. The full man's chain could not bring his proud soul under. The harp he loved never spoke again, for he tore its chords asunder and said, no chain shall call thee, the soul of love and bravery. Thy songs were made for the pure and free. They shall never sound in slavery. Land of song, death warrior bard, though all the world betrays thee, one sword at least thy rights shall go. One faithful heart shall praise thee.
Here comes the campaign make the military look crazy. I just got a bulletin from WABC radio, and it says that a counterintelligence officer has just been executed for the murder of a couple of years ago. And, of course, the emphasis is on his military background. So I sent them an email back. I said, yeah, it's because of his military background. And every GI is a walking time bomb. But you can say Allah Wakba all day long and everybody will dance. Yeah. So I said, you know what you should do? If you do something useful, why don't you reopen the case of New York City overpowered by Al-Qaeda? Louis Pepe, the federal guard in downtown New York, who was overpowered by two Al-Qaeda and stabbed in the eye and now sits blind and helpless in a home that he used to take care of his parents in, if his parents are still alive, because in 2000 his parents were 79 and 80, and he was taking care of them in their golden years. And their biggest concern was, who's going to take care of Louis, who's on three-quarter pension? He's out on three quarters. Isn't that great? And just like the gunned-down troops in Fort Hood, they won't get combat death benefits, and neither will Louis Pepe. Louis Pepe should be getting a $2 million bonus right now. And an apology from Mayor Bloomingdale, Robin, the boy wonder, who just sent out a Come Kill Us invitation, part three. He's picking up where Clinton left off. And he bought his own mayorality. He had no competition. Out of 8 million people in New York, there was nobody better than him. Yes. And Moses was an Apache. What a joke. Hang in there. We got more jokes to tell you. When these five Al-Qaeda come to New York, I wouldn't be surprised if the judge releases them in the custody of Richard Gere. In other news today, Kabuki dancer and president Mao Bao Obama apologized to the King of Siam for Liza Jane running away. And tonight's opera is The Mikado, being performed in the House and the Senate, starring President Butterfly. Here's some good news. 14,799 American citizens holding two or more passports have admitted that they hold bank accounts in seven different countries. speaking through their Arabic to English translators, Dennis Kucinich, Uday Pelosi, Khalid Bill Nelson, and Osama bin Saros face alleged charges of holding Syrian passports and stock in the Damascus IED manufacturing company. It is further alleged that money changed hands during a sandal-licking ceremony with Bashar al-Assad. Chuck Heinrich Schumer, the children's friend, and Carlos the Jekyll Levin could not be reached for comment as they were in the counting room at Chappaqua. You want to talk about Democrats? Harry Truman left office with a mortgage on his house. An old man with mortgage on his house. Faithfully served his country. And I read you the other night George Washington apologizing for any failures he may have made while he was president, and he said it was due to his fault and nobody else's. How's that? In other news today, Jimmy Carter, I was talking about houses, and the house that the Clintons are in Chappaqua, that's a party favor. Yeah. And they must have got one of those low interest mortgages like Christopher Dudd got. Yeah. Tell me, when they talk about their main squeeze, who are the politicians talking about? Special interests? In another news today, Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton converted to Islam. That's dollars to Saudi rials and Hamas dinars. In the Far East, the great Japanese kabuki actor Barack Hussein Obama took a bow for his role in President Butterfly. Meanwhile, back at the Triple K Ranch in Kandahar, Kabul, and Coast, abandoned American troops have just learned the suicide rate is up and the wagon train bringing the two rifles has been ambushed by a ditch Durbin using Richard's Luger. The Secretary of No Defense, Joe College, has announced a ceasefire to allow the Al-Qaeda team time to visit New York for Jihad Xmas. The CIA will be shut down for singing Beach Boys songs like Everybody's Surfing USA. You know, on 911, some Sicilian families lost their loved ones. And these clowns are going to come to New York. And I bet you right now that there are contracts out with big promises of lots of benefits to any jailbird that begs an Al-Qaeda. Yeah, this fool, this attorney schmuck, general, has no idea what he has just unleashed. No idea whatsoever. Think about this. Danny Pearl was snatched in Pakistan and put in the hands of terrorists. They toyed with them, they tortured them, they scared them, they made them sweat, they made a videotape of them, and the Pakistanis did. And while they were toying with him like a cat with a mouse, they made him say that he was a Jew and his mother was a Jew. And then they were going to release him. And the Saudis put up $30,000 to buy his body while he was still alive. And the guy who's coming to New York now reportedly is the one who cut his throat, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Now, I want you to picture the suffering of the Pearl family and everybody who knew and loved Danny Pearl. Okay, and I never forget he was our son. He was our buddy. He was our friend. He was an American. Okay, and you think about that. And now I'm going to tell you the Abu Ghraib torture story. The Abu Ghraib torture story was horrendous. They had a bowsy-wowsy that barked at the terrorists. Some of those terrorists had made IEDs that blew American bodies halfway across Iraq, burned those bodies, tortured American soldiers that they captured, and they were in Abu Ghraib prison and we had a bowsy wowsy that barked at them. And we had a couple of people that had a bad sense of humor, and they made them strip down naked, and they took photos of them. And this was the big atrocity. And they made them wear panties on their forehead. And this was the torture that they endured. Now, you just look at Danny Pearl. And you know how hard it is. Have you ever seen pictures of Al-Qaeda cutting a guy's head off? Usually, they use a dull knife, and they got to saw for a while. It's no swift cut. It's not like a Japanese beheading. It's more like a butchery. Okay? And now, what did the American terrorists do in Abu Ghraib? They made believe they were going to put electrodes on a guy's testicle. They made him stand on a chair, and they put a poncho over his head, and they scared the crap out of him. And they laughed, and they photographed it, and they sent the photos home. Okay. Stupidity par excellence. Terrorism? Not really. Not really. Do you want to know terrorism? Terrorism is being a stewardess on an airline, and Collar Divergent Counter is telling you not to worry, everything's all right, while you look at the cockpit door and see blood seeping out from underneath it. And all of a sudden, he cuts your throat, too. You think about that. You think about the terror that 3,000 Americans have suffered. Firemen climbing as fast as they could to rescue people, knowing they weren't going to come out of that building that day. They knew they were going to die. They knew their chances were slim or none. And they went and they chose to give their life for their fellow man. They paid the ultimate price so you and I could sit around and complain about secondhand smoke. So some liberal could call the EPA and complain that there's DNA dust on her windowsill. And she wants it removed at government expense. Yeah, you think about Abu Ghraib. You think about all of those asses in a pyramid and tell me that that's the same kind of torture that Corporal Lanzac experienced when he was captured by Al-Qaeda and his body was fished out of the Tigris River and the media wouldn't show the pictures because they were pro-Al-Qaeda. Here's the Al-Qaeda a torture song. And the next time they show you the Al-Qaeda victims, the Abu Ghraib victims with panties on their heads and all their butts are sticking out in a three-piled pyramid, just ask yourself one question. Is that the Democratic Convention, and doesn't the guy, the second from the left in the second row with the moon, doesn't that look like Chuck Schumer?
Chair, and I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs.
in the next epistle is considered the source. As a kid, I would cry to my mom that the other kids were saying untruths about me, and her answer was always the same: consider the source. Every day, I hear communists use this preface when smearing an innocent lamb. They begin their onslaught with the words, "they say," or "my constituents are telling me," and then they go to a commercial selling Pontius Pilate of finger bowls. I abhor news statements of judicial rulings where the source is not vetted. When Chris Matthews of Rafsanjani says Al-Qaeda gives him crazy legs, I want the viewer to see a window open up and list Chris's goals and achievements. For example, Chris was pardoned by Jimmy Carter for dodging the draft by hiding out in Swaziland in the communist-created Peace Corps. When communist-inspired Newsweek shows Sarah Palin on the cover in shorts with a crumpled American flag, I want to see a window open up listing all the anti-God, anti-country, Democrat stooges contributing to that birdcage bottom paper. Plus, show the December 7th issue in Japanese of an American flag in the garbage can. Newsweek sucks. Can I get a Gitmo a torture song?
If everybody had a moon across the USA, then everybody'd be served like California. You'd see them wearing their baggies, wore Archie sandals too, a bushy, bushy blonde hair, serving USA. You'll catch a serving at Ventura County line.
It took him less than 3 minutes to break Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the throat cutter. Okay? He was a babbling baby and after two cups of water. You know what? Haven't we got a tune to give comfort to the enemy? Maybe Eric Holder can sing this to Khalid Sheikh Mohammed in a New York courtroom. Hey, where's Chuck Schumer on this outrage, this sham? Where is Chuck Schumer, the defender of New York City, who at the World Trade Center, at the day after the Holocaust, he stood on the DNA dust of Americans and said, "I love this city"? Where is Chuck Schumer? Where is the outrage? Hey, Chucky Poo, it's time to show you true colors. This song is dedicated to tonight by Chuck Schumer, Hillary Clinton, Carlos the Jekyll Levin, Dennis Kucinich, Uday Pelosi, Bill Bayonet the Babies Nelson, all the Democrats that are saying it's good that Al-Qaeda comes to New York. They're dedicating this song to their lover, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed.
Thank you.
makes you think that the Democrats can't betray a whole city? What makes you think that if they can betray children in Waco, Texas, if they can betray one Cuban kid who they claim feet never touched American soil, or he was too young to know freedom, and his mother was a tramp, what makes you think they're going to look out for New York City? If they couldn't protect the only witness to her own murder, Terri Schiavo, instead that they blocked the door so they couldn't bring food in, what makes you think they're going to stand up for you? I'll bet you right now, dollars to donuts, New York City is not even on the Pentagon Defense Department map. I think they took it off in 93. I don't need to prove to the world what America can do. I know what America can do. America is slow to anger, and it's also slow to calm down. And right now, Eric Holder is the catalyst that's going to upset the apple cart, the big apple cart. You're going to have your hands full, Eric, and you don't even know it. And the best thing that the American people can do for peace and quiet is to get rid of him right now before he does any more damage. And anybody that defends him, take him with him. We're the home of tar and feathering. We're the home of riding you out of town on a rail. You keep it up. You see what happens. Somebody sent me a World War II poster, and it shows a GI on a beach, and he's digging a foxhole. And it says, "I'm digging my grave now, but soon it'll be your turn." And that GI says to me, those are the abandoned troops in Afghanistan, abandoned by a anti-American president, abandoned by someone who never served this country and doesn't even have the papers to prove he's a citizen. And they know it. His party knows he has no papers. He's a dog without papers. And his party knows it, and they knew it before he got elected. And they intend to get rid of him, and they think they're going to be taken over under the Clinton dynasty while the Emperor Ming is over in Asia playing chopsticks, and American troops in Afghanistan are waiting for reinforcements. And morale is low, and the suicide rate is high. Yeah, wait till they turn the suicide rate into a murder rate and they start looking for liberals. Oh, I'm sorry, I thought he was Al-Qaeda. He looked like Al-Qaeda. He had a beard and everything. He had a Bin Laden bumper sticker. No, that's Obama, not Osama. Bin Laden has 2 months to get ready to come to New York. As a matter of fact, up in Cave 27 in the Hindu Kush tonight, they're singing Beatles songs about New York. Imagine there's no people. Somebody sent me this. I'm going to tell you about it. It's the American Family Association. Very good people. They stand up for Christmas. Anybody that stands for Christmas, I like. And as a matter of fact, I don't call it Christmas anymore. I call it Christmas. So I Merry Christmas, everybody, and Happy Holy Days. Yeah. Don't tell me about season's greetings. So what season you're talking about? Mating season? Trout season? Hunting season? What season are you talking about? That's going off on a tangent. Yeah. There's only one season. It's baby Jesus' birthday. That's the birthday of the king. Hallelujah. How the angels sang. Hallelujah. How the chorus rang. And the sky was bright with a holy light. It was the birthday of the king. Christmas. Yeah, you can have a present too. So, AFA sends me this headline. GOP senator supports leftist judge nominee. And they're complaining about Richard Lugar, who is an Arlen Specter. And the only thing I wish that Richard Lugar would do would be to use it on himself. Use his last name on himself. And spare us the trouble of having to listen to his diarrhea tribe. You're not going to stop the left in the Republican Party. It's time to get out and start a second political party. drawing blue dogs with us. When you save a drowning American, you do not say, out with the bad air, in with more bad air. We had the lesser of two evils. It does not work. It is time to sing the national anthem, the farmer in the dell, and it's time for the cheese to stand alone. I am a 911 New Yorker. In my church are 47 names of Americans who died on 911, including a Marine fireman named Chapura, who survived the Beirut barracks bombing. But Al-Qaeda caught up with him on the streets of New York, and Al-Qaeda will be back to catch up to all of us once again. Osama bin Laden has a big footprint. Every day, his foot gets bigger. Every day, just trace his footsteps from Al-Khobar to the coal, to Kenya, to Tanzania, to New York City, to Madrid, to London. His foot gets bigger. His footsteps get bigger. He is going to leave a body print of 100,000 Americans before we finally put a nuke in his house. I'm telling you, I knew it in 1993 when we did nothing, but I wasn't paying attention. 2001 was my wake-up call, and at that time I said, what's the magic number? What is the magic number to declare war on whoever is hurting us, wherever they live? And that magic number is 100,000 dead Americans. That magic number is 100 bulldozers. That magic number is one piper for one mass grave. And when that happens, you'll know this war turns serious when you see Marines carrying flamethrowers. And then, if I was Bush, I never would have went to war without an act of war. And we wouldn't have this horse crap we have right now. You cannot negotiate with liberals or terrorists. They're one and the same. So like I said, I'm a 911 New Yorker and a Marine fireman who survived the Beirut barracks bombing. The Fort Hood fallen deserve combat zone death benefits. They too are 911 New Yorkers, as are the troops abandoned tonight in Afghanistan. Make no bones about it, they've been abandoned. Absolutely abandoned. We're watching Mary Poppins tour Asia. He's making up his mind. My friends, you know how long a decision to get out of the World Trade Center? Do you know how much time they had to get out? The most they had to get out was an hour. And the least amount of time they had to get out was a minute and a half. That's what it took to bring those buildings down. They were at ground zero at a minute and a half, and today not a flower grows there. 8 years later, a hole in the ground, and we elected a mayor who said we have to move on. We have elected the only candidate that was presented by both parties. There was no competition. And that's the trouble with America today. There's no competition. Everybody's going to be working for the government. There's going to be four professions left, and they're all going to be government controlled. One is going to be gambling. One is going to be porn. One is going to be prostitution, which takes place every day in the House and the Senate. One is going to be drugs, which they're working on now, and embezzlement. Those will be the only professions left in the United States. Now when you want to play the number, you have to call the governor, the blind sheikh, who's actually Abdul Rahman. I believe that Governor Patterson is the man in the iron mask, and he's in a federal jail. Heavily guarded. So, the troops have been abandoned by Eric Holder, and Eric Holder is a present danger to the security of the nation. Merry Christmas, everybody. They're declaring war on Christmas. How's that? Season's greetings. You're going to get season's greetings from the Golden Scimitars. Yeah, it's coming. And Eric Holder violated George Patton's cardinal rule. Never let the enemy pick the killing ground. And the enemy is selecting New York right now. You're going to get a show of shows. And you have it coming. You deserve it because you're not ready for anything. And I got three stakes in the game. And if any harm comes to them, I guarantee you, you won't have to worry about Al-Qaeda. And maybe next time, if we get our act together, 59,000 unarmed troops in Fort Hood, Texas, won't have to call the cops. Where's Rangel protesting this outrage? Where's Chuck Schumer? Chuck Schumer, the man who stands up for subway protection. Yeah, they had to evacuate the subway because there was a gas. They smelled gas down there. But it was only Chuck Schumer after a heavy meal. Oh, you can find Chuck Schumer defending freedom as long as it's in Democrat interest. Yeah, and the Republicans, hey, you know what? Get rid of them all. If they're in office now, fire them all. Except the guys from Texas. They seem to be trying. And I see that a Texas congressman is coming out and he sent Hillary Clinton a letter asking her to press the British government to release the terrorist label off of Mike Savage's record. Yeah, and it took a Texan. Savage says tonight, he's a citizen of California. He pays his taxes there. He had to go to Texas to get representation. And he doesn't even pay taxes in Texas. Yeah, you know what the slogan in Texas is? Don't mess with taxes. If we're not careful, we'll all be at the Alamo. I wonder if Ahmadinejad Jad is figuring now is the time to take advantage of that subway map, New York City subway map he has in his living room on the wall. I wonder if he's thinking, how can we kill the Americans in New York, make it look like the Jews did it? Or if we can't do that, make it look like the Saudis did it. They'll blame Al-Qaeda anyway. We'll get a free pass, and we'll be able to keep processing our uranium ore. And if Obama keeps on bowing, you know what? He's gonna hurt his back. As a matter of fact, I heard there's a rumor going around the Arab world that they expect to see him next time with a shoeshine box. The holy shoeshine box. What happened to all the movies where they're whipping the black guy and he refuses to bend because he's a man? And here we got a black guy. He's not only whipped, he's bowing. Unbelievable. And the liberals are defending him. They're saying, go ahead, bow, Obama. It's good for you. It's good exercise. It's a custom in that part of the country. Yeah. Yeah. You know what else is a custom? Having your tongue on a silver platter. Bartender, play me something patriotic before I throw up here. Hold off on that before we close the show. Give me something, some music dedicated to the Obama economy and the stimulus package.
They used to tell me I was building a dream, and so I followed the mob. When there was earth to plow or guns to bear, I was always there, right on the job. They used to tell me I was building a dream, with peace and glory ahead. Why should I be standing in line, just waiting for bread? Once I built a railroad, made it run, made it race against time. Once I built a railroad, now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime? Once I built a tower to the sun, brick, mortar, and lime. Once I built a tower, now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime? Once in khaki suits, he will look swell, full of that Yankee doodle-dee-dum. Half a million boots went marching through hell, and I was a kid with a drum. Hey, don't you remember? They called me Al. It was Al. Al all the time. Say, don't you remember? I'm your pal. Brother, can you spare a dime? Once I built a railroad, I made it run. And I made it race against time. Once I built a railroad, now it's done. Hey, brother, ain't got a dime about you, have you? And once I built a tower, yes, a tower to the sun, of brick, mortar, and lime. Yes, I'm the fella built a tower, and now it's done. Hey, buddy, ain't got a dime about you, have you? Once in khaki suits, he will look swell, full of that Yankee doodle-dee-dum. Half a million boots went marching through hell, and I was a kid with a drum. Say, don't you remember? Don't you remember? They called me Al. It was Al. Al all the time. Don't you remember? I'm your pal. Brother, can you spare a dime?
Do you know what? A government that can Google your house can find your 401k. If you think that they're not going to take away from you, the eminent domain is now the rule of the law of the land. First they passed a law that they killed kids, and they said that's settled law now. You can't stop killing kids because it's the law. Now they go to eminent domain, and if you got a house on the beach and a senator wants a condo, your house is gone. Okay? Now they're going to tax you, fine you, oppress you any way they can. I wouldn't be surprised if they pass a law that says we have to quarter Al-Qaeda troops. I mean, how many? They're going back to King George days, these people. What happened in no taxation without representation? You think Hillary Clinton is representing me? The woman hasn't been in New York in 8 years. She was on a campaign to be vice president the day she became senator. She didn't do bookish. And the other guy, Mr. Handy, the Shylock, he went upstate New York once and he got cow manure on his Gucci's and he's never been back since. And Nadler? You ever seen Nadler? That guy? That little worm? He voted to burn the flag. How's that? You know what? He'll never vote to burn the flag of Israel. Do you know why? Because his constituents would lynch him. But to vote an American flag to burn? It's freedom of speech. Shoot an American in the back? It's exercising your civil rights. Yeah, the laws are all... The scale of justice is one-sided. And it's not in favor of you. No taxation without representation? You got no representation. There's only one party in America. It's the Democrat Party. Don't let these Republicans fool you. They've been laying low. Who's an ideal Republican? Who? A congressman from Staten Island? Who went down and raised the second family? You think he's the only congressman with a second family in Washington, D.C.? You think he's the only senator with a second family? Oh, what the president does in the privacy of the Oval Office with the assistance of his attorney is nobody's business. Yeah, liberals will get you killed, man. They will get you killed. And your children, take a look at your grandchildren. My God, they're going to go to the cemetery and spit on your grave for what you allowed to happen on your watch. You think about it. And how quick you forgot about 911. And I'm going to remind you.
Get you an explosion. Oh my God, I don't believe it. The northeast corner has exploded in the most incredible explosion. Flames are flying out of the building. They're 5-10 stories high now. Black billowing smoke. The building corner, the whole entire corner is gone.
Both World Trade Center buildings in New York City right now, heaps of rubble. At 9 o'clock this morning, a plane crashed into one of the towers of the World Trade Center in Lower Manhattan.
I heard the noise. I was in my office, and I heard the guy screaming. So I ran out, and everybody was saying, oh, my God, and they're in tears. They're crying. Everybody's upset.
I was just trying to make phone calls. I looked up, and I heard an explosion, and then I saw everybody in the street react first. People crying, people on the ground, everybody lying down. And then I looked up, and I saw this huge plume of smoke, and the tower just crumbling. And it just turned into a huge plume of smoke, and next thing you know, there's smoke in one tower.
Shortly after 9 o'clock, a second plane crashed into the second tower.
Oh, my God. I heard a noise coming in incredibly low. And then I was standing here looking out the window, and I knew it was going to crash, and something was going to hit the building. I dove away from the window because I thought the explosion was going to implode the windows, and I'd be shattered with glass flying out. As soon as it hit, I came back, and there was a ball of flame.
I'm still shaking. I saw it hit the tower and flame everywhere.
Then minutes later, President Bush in Sarasota, Florida, called those crashes an apparent terrorist attack and a national tragedy.
Today we've had a national tragedy. Two airplanes have crashed into the World Trade Center in an apparent terrorist attack on our country. Terrorism against our nation will not stand. May God bless the victims, their families, and America.
Then an aircraft crashes near the Pentagon just outside of Washington, D.C. in Northern Virginia about an hour after those attacks in New York.
Looking out our 12th floor windows at 1600 Wilson Boulevard in Roslyn, Virginia, and I watched this. It looked like a commuter plane, two engine, come down from the south, real low, proceed right on and crash right into the Pentagon.
Then shortly after 10 o'clock this morning, one World Trade Center tower in New York collapsed.
Lots of smoke, and then the next thing I heard, an explosion, and the building from the top, the south building, just crumbled.
Just after 10:30 this morning, the other World Trade Center tower collapsed.
We were standing there looking up at flames coming out of the building and smoke billowing out of the building and police and FBI everywhere, and suddenly we heard a rumble and the sky was full of smoke. Everybody ran, crowds of people running through, I mean, shouting out to each other not to fall into the subway entrances.
So it's just truly amazing because yesterday afternoon we were sitting in the World Trade Plaza Center having lunch, and so now those two buildings are completely destroyed.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight last gleaming?
Itself was attacked this morning by a faceless coward, and freedom will be defended. Make no mistake, the United States will hunt down and punish those responsible
for these cowardly acts. We will do whatever is necessary to protect America.